All right. I want to speak with us on what I have titled, The Name of the Lord is Everything. The Name of the Lord is Everything. I know that this year has been an extremely blessed year already, and I know that many of us are enjoying the blessings of the harvests that the Lord prophesied and spoke to us about. And so far in 2020, one of the more remarkable experiences that I have had personally in the year was, and I've shared about this already in one of our online Wednesday meetings, was a divine encounter that I had with the Lord the last Wednesday of January. As I was getting ready for the midweek teaching service that was supposed to be the last one, actually, that Wednesday, and my plan was to wrap up everything that we had been ministering on the harvest and different things and all of that, and had this divine encounter with the Lord. His overwhelming presence came into the room, and he spoke very clearly to me. And for those of you who remember, if you joined us on that service that Wednesday night, I remember saying to you, and I think I actually gave an assignment, that everyone should go dig in into the name of the Lord. And the Lord said to me very, very clearly, tell my people to get a revelation of my name. Amen. Tell my people to get a revelation of my name. And so, I know some of you, hopefully, have been able to get into that. Some of you have not. If you have not, then I encourage you to, because you will need the revelation of the name of the Lord. Amen. As you go forward this year. Amen. So I want to press on from that service and take some time. Thank God this is a service that we've devoted more to ministering to an online audience than to the few that are able to join us in person to help us run the service. So that gives me a lot of liberty and freedom to take my time in ministering this message. So if you're online with us, you're probably in the comfort of your home. So I hope you're not in a hurry. Those of you who came to help us with the service, I mean, you put on the garment of a pastor or minister already, so I hope you are not in a hurry. I hope you're excited to be here and you're willing to stay under the proclamation of the Word of God for quite a while. One of the most, I think one of the more advantageous things about a service like this is it kind of takes out the barriers, the boundaries, the hurry, the rush, and gives us the liberty to actually really get into the Word, knowing that we have the advantage of the airwaves. Amen. Amen. All right, so the name of the Lord is everything. The name of the Lord is everything. I want you to go with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Thank you so much for those of you who came to help us with the service. You know, this for today, just for today, you get the blessing of, you get that, you know, there are higher rewards and there are levels in rewards. Today you get a slightly higher reward than you would have gotten for just attending the service. Because you came to make the service happen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because you came in partnership with the Lord to actually get his word out to the world. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they meaning the people he just spoke with, his disciples, went forth, and they preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ was leaving, having completed his own aspect, his own part of his assignment, but which was not eternally completed, it was completed in principle, but there was an extension of that work that needed to be carried on by the church, he gave the church something. He gave those disciples something. You notice in the last couple of verses that I read there, he said he was received up into heaven. But even though he was received up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God, they went forth and they continued that walk, and he continued to walk with them. So even though he was in heaven, he was sitting on the right hand of God, he continued to walk with them. Well, what was it that allowed him to continue to walk with them was because of what he gave them when he was leaving. What did he give them? He gave them his name. He gave them his name. Notice there, he said unto them, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. In my name. So no matter who it is, no matter who they are, no matter what they have or what they don't have, in his name, they become like him. In his name, they become equipped and empowered to be able to do everything that he was able to do when he walked physically upon the earth. Hallelujah. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. The name of Jesus is the most powerful thing on the earth today. And the name of Jesus is everything to the believer. I mean, what is it that enables a weak person, what is it that enables a mere human being to take up serpents, drink deadly things, and not be hurt? What is it that enables a weak person to do the same works that Jesus did upon the earth when he was walking here physically and naturally? What is it that makes an ordinary person like the same Jesus who walked on the earth physically, healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out devils and doing all these supernatural things, is his name. His name. So let me ask you one more time, now that I've given you a foundation, what did he give them in order to help them complete their assignment and inherit the promises that he had made to them? What did he give them to ensure that? His name. His name. His name. And that's not the first time that he was doing that. I want you to go back to the Old Testament, because the very first time the Lord was given a major assignment to a weak human being like these weak disciples that he gave this assignment to in the New Testament, the very first time the Lord was giving a significant assignment to a human being, a mere human being, who was supposed to do something extraordinarily significant, and the human being himself knew he did not have the wherewithal to get it done, what did he give him? His name. I want you to go with me to Exodus and chapter 3, and let's read there from, let's read a couple of verses there from verse 10, Exodus chapter 3. He said, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" It's almost like what those disciples were thinking in Mark 16 when he said, "I'm sending you to do the work that I have done." And he said, "Certainly," God said, "certainly I will be with thee. Certainly I will be with thee." He said, "And this shall be a token, a sign unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I have come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." He said, "And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations." Notice, he said, "This is my name, not just for this moment. This is my name, not just for this season." He said, "This is my name for how long? Forever. And this is my memorial unto how many generations? All generations." Well, it stands easy then. It becomes easy then to understand why Jesus, when he was leaving several hundreds of years after God said these words to Moses, it becomes easy to understand why Jesus said unto those disciples, "I give you my name. I give you my name." The greatest revelation that any believer can have is to have a revelation of the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is everything to a believer. Now, he said unto him, "I give you my name, and this name is forever, and this name is my memorial unto all generations." That is, this name is how you are going to get this work done. This name is how you are going to get the assignment that I've given you done. Well, Moses still had some doubts. And then in Exodus chapter 6, from verse 1, the Lord said this. Read with me from verse 1. He said, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of the land." Listen, God is talking about Pharaoh, the most powerful powerful king in the entire universe in this generation. And God is saying, listen, Pharaoh is going to let them go. In fact, he's not just going to permit them to go. He's going to drive them out. He's going to drive them out. Hallelujah. I tell you, child of God, when you get a revelation of the name of Jesus, the most powerful thing that can happen to you as a child of God is to receive a revelation for the reality and the power of the name of Jesus to become clear to you, to become a revelation to you, so that you know exactly how to use that name and what that name represents. Why is that name so powerful? Why is that name so powerful? Because his name is him. His name is him. See, when somebody calls your name, they don't call your name and think about your friend. When they call your name, they immediately imagine you. When somebody says, is Jonathan around? Is Jonathan there? Immediately, if they are not able to walk in there to go check, somebody walks into that room to go see if Jonathan is there, and they are looking for the person who is named Jonathan, because your name is you. Why is his name so powerful? Because his name is who he is. His name does not just represent him. His name is him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord said to those disciples in Mark chapter 16 from verse 15, he says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Now, what does that mean? See, his name is him. So, when you call his name, he comes on the scene. It's not a representative of him that comes on the scene. It's not a foreshadowing of him that comes on the scene. When you call his name, he comes on the scene. Notice, he doesn't say, usually when he talks about himself, he says, I am. He says, I am that I am. I am that I am that he said unto Moses in Exodus chapter 3 is the original Hebrew word, Yahweh. I am that I am. I am that I am. Now, I want you to notice in Exodus chapter 6 what he said unto Moses from verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do unto Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God said unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And then he said in verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That name that he appeared unto Abraham by, that is titled God Almighty, is the name El Shaddai. You see that in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. In Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, the Bible says God came unto Abraham and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be blameless. And then he said, I will fulfill my covenant unto you and unto your seed after you. Now, when he said, I am the Almighty God, I am the Almighty God is El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the first name by which the Lord introduced himself to Abraham. What is El Shaddai? El Shaddai is the multi-breasted one. The word El Shaddai means the one who has multi-breasts, that has all the supplies. He has a surplus of all the supplies you will ever need for anything you ever seek to do in your life. So Abraham, who was a mere man waiting on the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord, when the Lord had told him, you are going to have a promised son, and constantly Abraham looked at himself and he knew, I just don't see how this is going to happen. Well, the Lord introduced himself and said, listen, this is not going to happen because of you. This is going to happen because of me. I am El Shaddai. And of course, you know, in the course of time, over a year, 2 years, 3 years, the fulfillment and the manifestation of the promise that God made unto Abraham came into fruition. Sarah eventually had a baby. Abraham eventually became a father of a promised son. El Shaddai fulfilled the promise that El Shaddai made. Hallelujah. El Shaddai fulfilled the promise that El Shaddai made. However, Abraham only knew God as El Shaddai. He knew God as the one today, the multi-breasted one today, that can supply everything that I need today, right now. The one today who can meet my every need. The one today who can fulfill his promise in my life. That's El Shaddai. And Abraham knew him as El Shaddai. And when Isaac came on the scene, Isaac also knew him as El Shaddai. When Jacob came on the scene, Jacob also knew him as El Shaddai. But God is saying unto Moses, he said, they knew me as El Shaddai, but I'm going to reveal myself to you by a different name. See, because El Shaddai is the God, the multi-breasted God that has all the supplies that you need. But El Shaddai is the God who is here right now, who can do everything that is needed right now. And God is saying to Moses, this is several generations after Abraham, but I am still here. Because the word Jehovah or Yahweh means the one who is forever God. The one who is always God. The one who never changes. The one who never stops being God. Hallelujah. And so all of those derivatives of the name Jehovah talk about what he does in all generations. What he's able to do in all generations. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I tell you, even just ministering on the name of God, I feel an awesome presence of God in this room already. I feel an amazing Shekinah glory presence of God in this room. Just talking to you about his name. His name reveals who he is. He's the God that never changes. He's the God who will always be God. Yes. Whatever he did for Abraham, he can do for Isaac. Amen. Whatever he did for Isaac, he can do for Jacob. Amen. Whatever he did for Jacob, he can do for all of Jacob's children. And whatever he did for all of Jacob's children, he can do for Moses. And whatever he did for Moses, he can do for Joshua. And whatever he did for Joshua, he can do for Jesus. And whatever he did for Jesus, he can do for the disciples. And whatever he did for the disciples, he can do for you and for me, for all of eternity, because he is the God who never changes. Hallelujah. He says, I didn't reveal myself to Abraham as Jehovah. He only knew me. That's in Exodus chapter 3. He said, I appeared unto him as El Shaddai. He knew me as the multi-breasted one, but by my name Jehovah or Yahweh, or what he told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. Abraham didn't know me as that. He said, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. The name of the Lord, Jehovah, the name of the Lord, Yahweh, carries with it everything that God Almighty is. That is why there are derivatives of that name. When you call him Jehovah Jireh or Yireh, Jehovah Yireh, from Abraham's experience on Mount Moriah, when he said the Lord will see to it, he saw the ram caught by the thicket, by its horn, and he said, wow, this is Jehovah Jireh. That God who provided that ram in the midst of the bush for Abraham is still God today.
Amen.
He didn't stop being God on Mount Moriah.
Right.
That God who provided a ram for Abraham in that middle of nowhere is still Jehovah Jireh today.
Amen.
When you have a revelation of that name, Jehovah Jireh, you get to know him as the God who supplies all of your needs.
Amen.
He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. After the children of Israel won the victory over their greatest adversary, Amalek, the Amalekites. And from that day, the Amalekites never again retained the title of the greatest adversaries of the children of Israel. Because from that day, Jehovah Nissi stamped out the ability of the Amalekites to torment the children of Israel. See, he didn't stop being Jehovah Nissi, the banner over them, way back there. He's still the banner over his people today. Do you know that? He's still the shelter for his people today. He's still the covering. I love it what it says in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So the name of the Lord represents salvation. The name of the Lord represents shelter. The name of the Lord represents deliverance. The name of the Lord represents security. The name of the Lord represents rescue. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Hallelujah. They are safe. Hallelujah. So he's still Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord our healer. He didn't stop being Jehovah Rapha just for the children of Israel in Exodus. He's still the Lord your healer today. He is forever your healer. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord your peace. He's your peace in the midst of a troubled storm. He's still Jehovah Shalom today. Jehovah Sikenu is still the Lord your righteousness. He's still the one who clothes you with the garment of righteousness that blinds the eyes of the adversary and he cannot penetrate the shield of God around your life.
Amen.
Jehovah Makadish, he has never changed. Jehovah Sabaoth, he's still the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the armies of Israel.
Amen.
So when you know him, when you know his name, you know him and you know what he's able to do and you know what he carries. And you know what it carries. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You know, one of the things I found very fascinating is later on in the journey of the children of Israel, as they continue to progress, you know, Moses continued to see certain things about the power of God, about the deliverance of God, pretty much like you and I today. On our journey, you continue to see just different dimensions of the working of God. You know, after the Lord gave him this revelation of who he is, his name, and all of that. You know, it was after that, you know, that, you know, Pharaoh kept saying, I'm not going to let you go. But after that, finally, he had no choice. He had to let them go. And then they came to the Red Sea. You remember what happened at the Red Sea?
Yeah.
And Moses was crying, you know, because he saw a dimension of an attack that he hadn't seen before. He looked behind him. There was the Egyptian's army. He looked in front of him, and there was the Red Sea. Now, the Lord didn't tell him he was ever going to be caught in that kind of a situation. All the Lord ever told him was, I am that I am is with you. I am El Shaddai. I am Jehovah. And then he gave him all the derivatives of that name. Now, the name of the Lord is everything to the believer. The name of the Lord is everything to the believer. The name of the Lord is the shield you need from the attack and the assault of the enemy. The name of the Lord is the ark you need to carry you over the troubled waters of life. The name of the Lord is the balm in Gilead that we need to heal us and to comfort us in our lonely times, you know. The name of the Lord is the peace that we need in the times of confusion and trouble, you know. The name of the Lord is everything. See, the Lord didn't tell Moses, one day, you are going to arrive at the Red Sea and you will look behind you, you will see the Egyptian army, and you will look ahead of you and you will see the Red Sea and it will look like there is no way out. The Lord didn't tell him that. But what the Lord told him, he said, I am that I am. I will be with you and I will carry you through. And what Moses needed was a revelation of the name of the Lord so that he knew he's not only a God that can release us out of the bondage of Egypt, but he's also a God that can open the Red Sea. He's also a God that can destroy the Egyptians. He's also a God that can produce a promised land in the middle of the land of the giants. Hallelujah. He is the Lord God. He is the Lord God. Hallelujah. He is the Lord God. The name of the Lord is everything. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. He saw those expressions of the name of the Lord. He saw those dimensions of the expression of the name of the Lord. And in his mind, he thought he had seen it all. In his mind, he thought, oh, there couldn't be anything bigger than that. But as he continued to move forward, suddenly one day it hit him. Yeah, I've done some part of the assignment that the Lord sent me on. But I'm looking at the latter part of that assignment. And boy, oh boy, am I scared. Boy, oh boy, am I unsettled right now. And he came to the Lord in a moment of a divine visitation. He said, Lord, yeah, I agree. You destroyed Pharaoh. I agree. You made a way through the Red Sea. I agree. When Amalek came, you destroyed them. All we needed to do was stand on the mountain, had a couple of people hold my hands so that my hands were not dropping. Joshua stood there in the valley. He overcame the armies of Amalek. I agree. You've done a lot. But Lord, as I look forward at what is still left, my heart is a little troubled. Moses said, Lord, How will I know that what you said is going to come to pass? Lord, how do I know that the promises that you made will all together be fulfilled? Not just a half of them, but will all together be fulfilled. Woo, glory to God, glory to God. I don't know if you've ever had moments like that or if you still do, where you come before the Lord and you are so excited and you are really thankful about what the Lord has already done. But then you look ahead of you. You know, when you look behind you, it was the Lord that brought you this far. But then when you look ahead of you and you look at how far you still need to go and what needs to happen on this journey, something within you, some butterflies within you start to kind of jam around the place, and suddenly you may have a moment of uncertainty and you go, Lord, how do I know? That was the moment Moses had. And you know what the Lord did? It's amazing to me. The Lord didn't show him a vision. The Lord didn't create something new. The Lord didn't make the heavens quake. The Lord didn't stir up angels and say, go surround Moses, let him see you. He didn't do any of that. You know what the Lord did? The Bible says the Lord started to preach about his name. Hallelujah. He started to say to Moses, I am the Lord God Almighty. Woo, hallelujah. He started to preach about his name and his quality to Moses. It's like those of you who are listening to me preach about the name of the Lord today. Maybe the reason the Lord is sending this message to you is because maybe you've had that Moses moment, when you've had that moment of uncertainty and you've questioned in your heart. I know the Lord has done some amazing things, but when I look ahead of me, I don't know how we are going to get it all done. And the Lord is preaching about his name to you today. And he said, I am still Jehovah. I am still El Shaddai. I still have the wherewithal. I still have what it takes and what it requires to get the job done. I have never lost a battle, and I'm not going to start with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord started to preach in Exodus chapter 33. He started to preach. Moses said in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. Consider that this nation is your people. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you. And I will give you rest, Moses. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. The Lord is saying that to his people today. My presence will go with you, Tinu. And I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, Sharon. And I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, Mary. And I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, Stella, and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said in verse 15, if your presence does not carry us, then please don't take us from here. You know why he said that? Because they already came out of the land of bondage. They are finally out of Egypt. The master they had served for 400 years had finally lost his hold over their destiny. They are caught right in the middle, somewhere between where they were coming from and where they were going. But they're no longer in bondage. They're not yet in the promised land. They have not arrived where God said he was taking them. But right now, they are free of the bondage of Israel, of Egypt. And Moses had another moment. He said, Lord, you know what? I think we're good here. I think we're okay here. We are out of Egypt. We are not in the promised land yet. But Lord, if you are not going to take us all the way, then just leave us here. Just empower us to be able to occupy this land. God said, Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. 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 And Moses said, for how will it be known that we're a different people? How will it be known that we are not as every human being out there. How will it be known that we serve a God who is alive and well? How will the world know that our God is actually who He says He is? He's El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. He's Yahweh. He's I Am That I. How will the world know? Moses says. And the Lord said unto Moses, alright, this is what I'm going to do to you. This is what I'm going to do for you. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. God said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you, and then I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before you. That's all I need to do. I just need to talk about the name of the Lord. Why was he doing that? Because the name of the Lord is who he is. The name of the Lord is who he is. And you see him beginning to proclaim that name in Exodus chapter 34. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This feels like a hallowed studio this morning. Feels like a hallowed studio imbued with the presence of God. Hallelujah. God is saying to you this morning, child of God. God is saying, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to reveal everything that I am before you. I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out before you. And you know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to do it by preaching about the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you who Jehovah is. I'm going to tell you who El Shaddai is. I'm going to talk about my goodness. I'm going to talk about my mercy. I'm going to talk about who I am. And then he did. In Exodus 34. The Bible says in verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud. He stood with him there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him. And proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God. Merciful and gracious. Long suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, giving mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that we by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and unto the third and the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and he bowed his head to the ground and worshiped God. You know what happened to Moses in that moment? He saw who God is. In hearing God preach about his name, he saw God. He saw the glory of God. He saw the presence of God. And suddenly, supernaturally, all of his fears were allayed. All of his questions were answered. And he believed God and his presence will go with us. And God will give us rest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His name is powerful. His name represents everything that he is. That is why a revelation of his name is crucial. The name of the Lord is not just a placard. The name of the Lord is not a curse word, a swear word. The name of the Lord, it's not just an identity badge. The name of the Lord must be a revelation to you. When I had my divine encounter at the end of January with the Lord, I said, the name of the Lord must be everything to you. You must know the name. You must have a clear revelation of the name. I remember I changed my sermon for that Wednesday evening and ministered almost entirely through that service on the name of the Lord. And when I finished, I challenged those who were online. I said, you know, go find you a good study Bible. Go find you a good Bible that has good concordance, that has a lot of good information where you can find out the names of the Lord and study it and meditate it for yourself, because you are going to need it. The name of the Lord has to become a revelation to us. We must know the name. Not just so that we can rattle it off because we memorized the things that we read in a book or stuff that we saw. So No. The name of the Lord must become a revelation. It must be light that fills your spirit through and through. The name of the Lord must become an assurance within you. The name of the Lord must be a life code that you live by. The name of the Lord must determine and set your expectations. The name of the Lord must become so real to you, more real than anything else that you have in your life right now. The name of the Lord must be a revelation to you. The name of the Lord must be a revelation to you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I know I went on that journey and just started digging on the name of the Lord and the name of the Lord. And one thing led to another. One thing led to another. But I found out when I came out of that journey, when I came out of that experience, I became confident. I became super confident. I became like, you know, how do I describe that? Precious brother told me a few days ago, oh, something is going on at work. And immediately, I said, give me your hands. I held his hand and said, Satan, stop right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, stop right. I did not think about it. I did not pre-plan it. It came to me in that moment. I said, Satan, stop right now. Stop in your maneuverings. Stop in your machinations. Stop right now. And he stopped. You know what happens when the name of the Lord becomes a revelation to you? He comes on the scene every time you need him. I remember the one time in the book of Mark chapter 4. Jesus said to the disciples, come, let's pass over. Let's go to the other side. And as they started going to the other side, obviously he was tired. So he went inside the ship, inside the boat, and he went and took a nap. But the nap turned to a deep sleep. The Bible says he was sleeping on a leather cushion. And suddenly, hurricane started to blow. The Bible says a forceful wind of hurricane proportions. Mark chapter 4, I believe it's from verse 35, I'm not sure. Hurricane proportions started to come against them. And the disciples did everything they knew to do. They were trying their best to solve the problem. Do you know, even at our best, we are limited. We're just like Moses. Do you know that? Even at our best, Moses was one of the most educated men on earth, in the universe, in the moment when God called him. But even at his best, he was like a nonentity, considering the magnitude and the gravity of the challenges that stared him in his face. Do you know that even at our best, we are really nothing compared to the things that life throws at us? But when we have a revelation of his name, hallelujah, he comes on the scene instantaneously every time. They were doing everything they knew. They were throwing water out of the boat. Some people were, they had division of labor. They had everything. They were doing everything, but the boat was still sinking and they were still dying. The boat was still sinking and they were still dying. Suddenly, one of them got a bright idea. He said, where is Jesus? I thought we left with Jesus. Where is Jesus on this boat? Somebody said to him, shh, he's sleeping on a leather cushion in the hinterland of the soul. What? He's sleeping! I'm guessing. guessing this was probably Peter. I'm not sure. He's sleeping and we are perishing. Jesus is sleeping and we are perished.
Amen.
Somebody say, go wake him up. Go wake him up. Go wake him up. So they came to Jesus and they tapped on his feet. Lord, don't you even care that we are perishing? Jesus didn't go into any long theological discussion. The Bible says he just got up. He said, peace. Be still right now. Stop it, Satan. Stop. Stop right now. And the Bible says, right then, everything collapsed. Everything fell and stood silent. Because the Son of God spoke. Do you know, when you take his name in every situation of life and you say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, stop. Do you know he has to stop? There's no controversy about it. In the midnight hour, when you see your child, when you see your child foaming in the mouth, running fever, acting like something's jumping on them, that's not when to pull your hair out like the disciples, trying to throw water, we are perishing, we are dying. That is the time to say, Satan, stop right now. In the name of Jesus. See, remember when you use his name, he's on the scene. It's not us. How many people remember Palm Sunday is very close. Remember that scripture where the Bible says Jesus came riding on the donkey and then they started prophesying. They said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All they were saying is this ordinary man who is riding on this donkey right now, he is not an ordinary man. He is the Lord. And because he is the Lord, because he's coming in the name of the Lord, blessings have to follow him. Do you know blessings have to follow you because you are here in the name of the Lord? Do you know your story has to be different because you are here in the name of the Lord? But that name has to be a revelation to you. That name has to be a clear revelation to you. That name has to be an assurance that you have in your heart.
Amen.
That assurance has to translate into confidence.
Yes.
The name of the Lord has to be a revelation to you.
Amen.
How does it become a revelation to you? By doing what I told you to do at the end of January. Dig up the scriptures and the names of the Lord in the word.
Amen.
Study them. Because you are going to need it.
Yes.
As you go through the year.
Yes.
You are going to encounter some Goliaths. Do you know one man who encountered a Goliath but had a revelation of the name of the Lord? His name was David.
He
wasn't even a man. He was a little boy. In fact, he was so little and he looked so small, like he couldn't really lift a 2-pound weight, that Saul the king said, you, he's going to kill you like a dog. And David had to try to convince the king. He said, no, king, I know what I'm talking about. Because I have been in the wilderness and a lion and a bear came and I tore them apart with my bare hands. But it wasn't me. I did it in the name of the Lord. Saul said, oh, really? He said, yeah. It's all right. Okay, I don't want to be liable for anything that happens to you. Take my armor and use my armor. So he tried to put on the king's armor. But when he put on the king's armor, he couldn't move. He said, king, I can't use this armor. It's not the armor I'm going to have to trust in. This armor can't deliver me from Goliath. This armor can't stop him from killing me. I've not proved this, Lord. I've proved the name of the Lord, but I've not proved this armor. I can't put a, so Saul said, okay, well, I've done my part, you go.
Amen.
Want you to see what happened in 1 Samuel 17. When Goliath saw him in verse 42, the Bible said, when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him. You know what that means? He looked at him and he just absolutely just hissed. Just what is this? It's like a dog. He said, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks and stones? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. See, he doesn't realize, Goliath doesn't know. Today, he's going to draw his last breath. See, because he's looking at that little boy. He's looking at that little boy with five stones and a stick and a slingshot. He doesn't realize that little boy is not the one who is in battle with him today. The person who is in battle with him today is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the hosts of the armies of Israel, the one who commands the angels. So he looked at him and said, And he cursed him by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, Jehovah Sabaoth. See, and that God is going to give me your life today. When you have a revelation of his name, folks, regardless of where you are, regardless of what is going on in your life, regardless of what you encounter on your journey, he comes on the scene all the time. Remember that the name of Jesus was given to him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9, it says he has been given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Remember, all of that name of God, El Shaddai, Jehovah, and everything that that name represents was invested into Jesus. Was invested into Jesus. And then Jesus turned around and gave you his name.
Amen.
He said, you take, this is the greatest treasure that I can bequeath to you. You take my name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember one time in John chapter 16, he said unto them, up until now you have asked for nothing. Ask for whatever you desire in my name, and the Father will give it to you so that your joy can be full. That is, even when you come with the name of Jesus before the Father, the doors just open to you. Every door opens. It's not only the gate of hell. It's not only the kingdom of darkness that responds to the name. Heaven also responds to the name. The name is everything. The name of the Lord is everything. So as I close, let me challenge you. Hallelujah. Take the name. Use the name of the Lord. Remember the name of the Lord. Meditate the name of the Lord. Remember what Psalm 20 said. He said, the name of the Lord God of Jacob will defend you. Remember the name. Remember what he said in verse 7? Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. What will we do? We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hold on to the name. Don't deny the name. Remember what the Lord said to the Philadelphia church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. He said, I remember you did not deny my name. You did not deny my name. You did not give up my name. But most importantly, wage war in the name of the Lord. Remember what David said in Psalm 118. Let's read that as I close out here. Glory be to God. Wage war with the name. Don't take it in vain. Don't be like the seven sons of Sceva. The name of the Lord isn't just a placard. The name of the Lord isn't just an identity badge. You can't just say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh no. Get a revelation of the name. Get a revelation of the name. Know the name. Hallelujah. Know the name. I love it. The psalmist said in Psalm 118. He said, Psalm 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe it is Psalm 18, not Psalm 118. Is this Psalm 118? Let me make sure I get this right. 10 to 12. Psalm 118. 10 to 12. Bear with me. Let me close this right. Psalm 118, 10 to 12. That's right. He says, all the nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. He goes further in verse 26. He said, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know what? Wage war with the name of the Lord. You know what? Dwell in the name of the Lord. You know what it says in Psalm 91? He that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Remember the name. Meditate the name. Use the name. Wage war with the name. Dwell in the secret place of the name. He said, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eye will you see and behold the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There will no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so you don't dash your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Because you have set your love upon him, he said, he will deliver you. He said he will set you on high because you have known his name. All of those promises in Psalm 91 are hinged upon you knowing his name. Somebody say, Pastor, but I know his name. Isn't his name Jesus? I mean, you've been preaching about his name today. Didn't you say his name is El Shaddai? Didn't you say his name is Yahweh? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. But what you are rattling back to me is the head knowledge you got from what I said. He didn't say get head knowledge about his name. He said know his name. That word there, know, is a word that connotes revelation. It means to have an intimate and a deep personal revelation of his name. Amen. Know his name. Amen. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. When your meat burns in the oven, don't say, Jesus. Jesus. Don't use the name like a curse word. Oh, Jesus. Don't do that. You can't have a revelation of his name and use it that way. And if you do, when you really need that name to bring him on the scene, it won't work. The seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19 tried to solve a simple problem with a name they heard somebody preaching about. They said to a man who was demonized, and they said, we bind you and we cast out these devils in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the Bible says the devils jumped on them and say, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? See, when you have a revelation of the name, Satan could never possibly ask you, who are you? Because the name is a shield and a buckler for you. The name is wrapped all around you. The name is what carries you. The name is what he sees when you speak. So get a revelation of his name. Dig up your Bible. I'll give you that assignment again today. 1 month after the first time I did. Get a good Bible. Find something. Matter of fact, it was very interesting to me. Earlier this week, you know, we usually get Kenneth Copeland Ministry stuff here. And earlier this week, we got their monthly letter. And we are partners with the ministry. I opened the letter. And what was he talking about? The names of the Lord. Who is God? Jehovah. El Shaddai, Rapha, Rohi, Tzidkenu, Shalom, Shama, Nisi, Sabaoth. Brother Copeland said the Lord told him believers should get a revelation of the name. On the card, he lists the names of the Lord. On the back of the card, all the different aspects of the name. That's their current monthly newsletter. Get a revelation of the name. You are going to need it. Don't just have a head knowledge. Don't just hear a preacher talk about it. Get a revelation of the name. You are going to need it. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That name is going to put you above. Do you know when the Bible says we are seated far above principalities and powers in heavenly places? Do you know the reason we are is because of his name? It's because of his name. Because he was given a name. The same transaction God the Father did with him, he did with us. In Psalms 8 from verse 1, he said, how excellent is your name. Your name is above. Your glory is above all the heavens. His name is above everything. He took that name that is higher than everything and gave it to Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible says he has been given a name that is above every other name. But then in Ephesians, he says we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. You know what makes us sit there with him? It's his name. You have a revelation of the name of the Lord. You sit with him. When you speak, Satan has to obey. When you speak, principalities and powers have to obey. Do you know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? Do you know what we are waging war with? It's not the person who can talk the most that wins this battle. It's not the one that's wearing the biggest armor. David showed us that. It's not the tallest or the shortest, the thinnest or the fattest. No. It's the one that has a revelation of the name. I pray you get a revelation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's just bow our heads and just close out this service. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Let me ask you, do you have a revelation of his name? Do you have a revelation of his name? Do you know his name? Do you know who he is? Is he for you, Jehovah Nissi? Is he your covering? Is he for you, Jehovah Shalom? Is he your peace? Is he for you, Jehovah Rapha? No matter how long you have felt the symptoms, the devouring symptoms of the sickness in your body, can you get up one more morning and say, like you said it 1,000 and 1,000,000 times before, in the name of Jesus, he is the Lord that healeth me. Do you know him as Jehovah Rapha? Is he your Jehovah Yireh? No matter how long that lack, the symptom of lack, has stared you in the face, can you get up one more morning, one more afternoon, one more evening, and stare that lack in the face like you have done 1,000,000 times before, and say, in the name of Jesus, he is the Lord that supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know him like that? Do you know him like that? Do you know him as the Lord your shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my Jehovah Rohi. He's the Lord my shepherd. Do you know him as the Most High God, El Elyon, the one who is higher than everything else? He's higher than the highest. Do you know him like that? Do you know him like that? Do you know him like that? Do you know him like Moses eventually had to know him? When you behold your own vulnerability and your weakness, the limited nature of your human stature, do you know him like that? Like when you can take that name and wage war like David did, do you know him like that? When you can take Jehovah's about with you into the battles of life and you know he has never lost a fight and he will not begin with you, do you know him like that? Do you know him as your unbridled access to heaven when he said, whatsoever, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give unto you so that your joy may be full. Do you know him like that? When you know you have a ticket straight to heaven, to the presence of the Father, when you stand before the Father and you call the name of Jesus, heaven stands at attention and they say, what does he need? Let's get it to him because he came in the name of Jesus. But above everything else, have you actually received his person? Because his name is not just a placard that you carry. His name isn't just a badge, an identity badge that we wear. His name is him. Have you received him? Is he your Lord? I'm not talking about the millions and millions in the body of Christ today who say, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior. But they're living their own lives and doing their own thing. And Jesus is only their Lord and their Savior and their Master as long as Jesus tells them what they want to hear. And the moment Jesus has a different instruction and a different requirement of them than what they ever want to hear, from that moment, he's not their Lord and their Master. I hope you are not like that. I hope he's your everything. And if he's not, praise God, that's why the Lord sent this word to us today. Praise God. You can receive him. You can know him like David knew him. You can know him like Jesus knew him. You can know him like Peter and John knew him when they healed the man at the beautiful gate. They said, look on us in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And when everybody looked upon them like they were the most holy people on earth, they said, no, this is not us. This is his name. We know his name and we have faith in his name. You can know him like that. You can know him like that. So I'm not asking. Benefit of anyone who might be with us who wants to either commit their lives to Christ for the first time or rededicate their lives. Just pray this prayer. And please help me, those of us that are here in this room, help me with this. Let's pray together. Just repeat these prayers after me. Say, Lord, I come to you, not in my name, but in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. But I know Jesus Christ, he died on the cross and he paid the price for my redemption. I open up my heart to him today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Make me a new man. A new woman. Do a new work in my life. Save me from my past. Wash me with your precious blood. Write my name in your precious book of life. I renounce sin and I renounce Satan. From this day onward, I commit my life completely, totally, eternally to you. Have your way in my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Thank you, Lord, because I believe I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm justified. I'm redeemed. I give you the glory, Lord. I give you the praise, Father. I honor you and I bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. 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 Oh, Father, I thank you for every man and every woman that has been under the sound of my voice today. We have heard your word preached from this pulpit. God, everyone that has been here with us in this room, Lord, everyone with us online, Lord, as your word has gone through these airwaves, let this word not return to you void. Let it accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Do something supernatural by this word. Do something mighty, something miraculous, something amazing by this word. Change somebody's life. Take somebody to another level. Elevate somebody above the storms and the turbulence of life that they are encountering right now. Give your people peace. Give them the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. You alone deserve it. I bless your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.